First Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 7. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. When they were only a few in number, very few and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Now, Acts chapter 15, verse 5. But certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way that they also are. And all the multitude kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. And after they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, brethren, listen to me. Simeon had related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after these things, I will return And I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which is fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who makes these things known from of old. Therefore, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood. For Moses from ancient generations has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Now, in the back of your bulletin, Psalm 61, we'll read together. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide for God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praises to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us your word and that in it we find your grace, your mercy, and we have our hearts filled with the joy and gladness of knowing our Savior. And so this morning we worship you, we love you, and we thank you for the word and for the bread and the wine that you give to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's bow together in prayer. Father, now by your Spirit, we come into your presence and we come to hear from you, but we recognize that as we come, we are people who are full of sin. And so we pray that you, in your grace, would forgive us. And we thank you that in Christ, we are guaranteed that you do forgive us and that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for that, and we pray now that as we are in your sanctuary together, the heavenly sanctuary, that you would open our hearts and open our minds to hear from you, and that you would speak to us, and that we would hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. So bless our time together, we pray. For the glory of Christ. Amen. We are going to take the next 2 weeks and we are going to deal with Thanksgiving. And I can't imagine why, can you? It's interesting that our tradition of Thanksgiving comes because of the pilgrims and coming to a new land. And we're going to talk about that with reference to the scriptures today. If you think about it, this is a time... The holidays, this time of year when, well, there just seems to be more trouble in the Middle East. And this last week, it proved to be true once again. As some worshipers were put to death in Jerusalem. I don't know if you've thought about it, but if you think about the Holy Mount in Jerusalem, that, I don't know that much about the area there, but... The Holy Mount is Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. Now, Mount Moriah is only mentioned twice in Scripture. It's mentioned in Genesis chapter 22 because that's where Abraham took Isaac to slay him as a sacrifice. And it's mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 because that's where David discovered he was supposed to place the temple. And you, in a minute, we'll talk about how he discovered that. Well, we'll talk about it now. You remember he counted. He unwisely numbered the children of Israel as a fighting force, and God punished him for that. And he was given three choices. He took the third choice and put himself into the hand of the Lord. And the Lord slew 70,000 people because of David's sin. And he was at the threshing floor of Obed-Edom, and he saw the angel of the Lord with a sword. And so he quickly purchased the land, purchased the material to build an altar, purchased the animals to sacrifice on the altar, and he prayed and he gave a burnt offering, and the hand of the Lord was stayed, and fire came forth and burned the sacrifice. So he knew. This is where God wants his temple built. Only twice in Scripture is Moriah mentioned. On the other hand, Mount Zion is mentioned in both the Old and the New Testament. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. In the far north, the city of the great king. Now, we've been talking a lot about the tabernacle and the temple in our study in Revelation and elsewhere. But there's something that we haven't talked about, and that is the division of the tabernacle. And we're going to talk about that today in just a little bit. Because we're looking at the psalm that is comprised in conjunction with the moving of the ark from Obed-Edom into Zion. In preparation, just for us to think about that, then you have to have just a bit of history. You remember that during the days of Eli, the ark went into battle against the Philistines, and it was taken. And then finally they returned it, and it came back into Israel territory. And the Israelites came and they lifted up the covering and they peeked in. And God slew 50,000 people. Because you're not supposed to look at the ark. Remember, the ark is always covered unless it's in the holiest of holies. There it is uncovered, but not out in the open. And so the ark ended up at a Gibeonite's place. The man is probably a Gentile. We can't prove it for sure. Abinadab. And it was there for 100 years, the tabernacle with the ark. 100 years it was there. And then David decided that he was going to go take the ark. And so he went to take the ark, and that story is famous because he put the ark on a cart, and it was drawn by animals, and it was just coming into the territory that we would call Jerusalem, where David had gained a victory from the Jebusites. And the cart began to tilt, and Uzzah reached out his hand to steady it, and he was slain. In connection with bringing that Ark of the Covenant, this is what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 8. Only I don't have 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 8. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 8 says, "And David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, even with songs and with lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and with trumpets." So you have to have this picture of this ark that is coming on a cart pulled by mules. And people are all around, and there's all kinds of music and shouting and singing. There was never any music in Israel until then. Well, not to speak of, not in connection with anything that had to do with Israel's worship, with the ark. When they defeated the Egyptians by God's hand, the women came out singing and dancing and beating on tambourines. And when Deborah gained a victory, there was song. But there was nothing in connection with the tabernacle or the worship of God whatsoever, except one tiny caveat that we'll look at in a moment. And so this is something that is completely new. David, as you know, is the poet. He's the singer. He's the one who played the harp before Saul to chase away the evil spirit. He's the one that wrote many of the Psalms. He's the one that understood music. And in connection with bringing the ark, and what is the Ark of the Covenant? It's the place where God is enthroned among his people. He's enthroned in the wings of the cherubim. And so as the ark comes to, or is being brought to Zion, he's making music and everyone with him. But God kills Uzzah, and David's afraid and he's angry. So he leaves the ark at Obed-Edom's house, who is a Gittite. Now, Obed-Edom means servant of Edom, servant of Esau. Not likely a Jewish person. He's probably a Gentile person. You wouldn't tend to name your son a servant of Esau because Esau and Jacob were opposed to each other. So there the ark sits for 3 months. And the house of Obed-Edom is greatly blessed. And David is told of it. He recognizes it. And he decides once again to bring it to Zion, this ark, the Ark of the Covenant. But this time he decides to do it the right way. And that is to have the ark covered with the poles going through it and the poles put on the shoulders of the Levites. So you have, well, when you traveled back in the wilderness from place to place, the tabernacle was torn down, everything was packed up. And all the furniture had poles through it. And you would cover, each piece of furniture was covered in a different fashion, representing something different. We don't have time to talk about that. But then the Levites would have them on their shoulders. But the ark itself was situated such that it was higher than any other piece of furniture because its rings were down at the bottom of the ark. So when you put it on men's shoulders, it's lifted above all the other pieces of furniture. So as Israel is marching along, their God is enthroned above them. When they go into battle and they carry the ark, the king is riding on the ark, going to battle for them. That's the picture. And so now when we come to 1 Chronicles chapter 15, and you can turn there, we'll look at it in just a minute. This is the way David decides to do things. And he brings this ark to Zion. And just for the sake of time and so forth, we're going to have Ben read chapter 15 for us. Of 1 Chronicles chapter 15.
1 Chronicles 15. Now David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for Yahweh chose them to carry the ark of God and to minister to him forever." And David assembled all Israel at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of Yahweh to its place, which he had prepared for it. And David gathered together the sons of Aaron and the Levites. Of the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief, and 120 of his relatives. Of the sons of Merari, Asaiah the chief, and 220 of his relatives. Of the sons of Gershom, Joel the chief, and 130 of his relatives. Of the sons of Elizaphan, Shemaiah the chief, and 200 of his relatives. Of the sons of Hebron, Eliel the chief, and 80 of his relatives. Of the sons of Uzziel, Aminadab the chief, and 112 of his relatives. Then David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, and said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites. consecrate yourselves, both you and your relatives, that you may bring up the ark of Yahweh, God of Israel, to the place that I have prepared for it. Because you did not carry it at the first, Yahweh our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of Yahweh, God of Israel, and the sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders, with the poles thereon, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of Yahweh. Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals, to raise sounds of joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and from his relatives Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and from the sons of Merari, their relatives, Ethan, the son of Cushiah, and with them their relatives of the second rank, Zechariah, Ben, Jeziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Uni, Eliab, Benaiah, Maaseiah, Mattathiah, Eliphelehu, Micneiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, the gatekeepers. So the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound aloud cymbals of bronze, and Zechariah, Aziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Uni, Eliab, Maaseiah, and Benaiah, with harps tuned to Alamoth, and Mattathiah, Eliphelehu, Micneiah, Obed-Edom, Jael, Azaziah, to lead with lyres tuned to the Shemineth. And Chenana, chief of the Levites, was in charge of the singing. He gave instruction in singing because he was skillful. And Berechiah and Elkanah were gatekeepers for the ark. And Shebaniah, Joshaphat, Nathaniel, Amasiah, Zechariah, Benaiah, and Eleazar the priests blew the trumpets before the ark of God. Obed-Edom and Jehiah also were gatekeepers for the ark. So it was David with the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands who went to bring up the ark of the covenant of Yahweh from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came about because God was helping the Levites who were carrying the ark of the covenant of Yahweh that they sacrificed seven bulls and seven rams. Now David was clothed with a robe of fine linens with all the Levites who were carrying the ark. And the singers and Kenaniah, the leader of the singing, with the singers. David also wore an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of Yahweh with shouting, and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets, with loud-sounding cymbals, with harps and lyres. And it happened, when the ark of the covenant of Yahweh came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window, and saw King David leaping and making merry, and she despised him in her heart.
Okay, then we're also going to have Ben read the first seven verses of chapter 16, and then verse 37 to the end.
And they brought in the ark of God and placed it inside the tent which David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh. And he distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a raisin cake. And he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of Yahweh, even to celebrate and to thank and praise Yahweh, God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and second to him, Zechariah, then Jael, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, with musical instruments, harps, lyres. Also Asaph played loud-sounding cymbals. And Benaiah and Jahaziel, the priests, blew trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to Yahweh. Verse 37. So he left Asaph and his relatives there before the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom with his 68 relatives, Obed-Edom also the son of Jeduthun, and Hasa as gatekeepers. And he left Zadok the priest and his relatives to the priests, before the tabernacle of Yahweh in the high place which was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to Yahweh on the altar of burnt offering continually, morning and evening, even according to all that is written in the law of Yahweh, which he commanded Israel. And with them were Heman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to Yahweh, because his loving kindness is everlasting. And with them were Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those who should sound aloud, and with instruments for the songs of God, and the sons of Jeduthun for the gate. Then all the people departed, each to his house, and David returned to bless his household.
Okay, thank you, Ben. So What we discover as this ark comes up and it's placed in Zion in a tent is now there's a division. So you have up here in Jerusalem, but specifically on Mount Zion, is you have this tent. And in this tent is the Ark of the Covenant. Whether it remains covered or not, we don't know for sure. Some people would say, yes, it's covered in this tent up here. I don't think it was. We'll explain that in a minute. So up here is the tent. And then some 7.5 miles away is the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle is made of two tents. We all know that. The outer portion, called the holy place, where you have the table of showbread and the golden altar of incense and the lampstand. And then another tent attached to it. And you have to go through curtains to get into that second tent. And in the second tent is the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim on the lid that's made of gold overshadowing the ark. Now the ark is torn out of that tabernacle and it's brought over here to Mount Zion. And then 7.5 miles away, still you have this tabernacle. And what has happened is something very unique. Because now David has prescribed something new when it comes to worship in Israel. Down here at the tabernacle, you have offerings still going on the bronze altar. You have burnt offerings and peace offerings and purification offerings. But up here, where the ark is in Zion, after the initial offerings of burnt offerings in dedication, there are no more offerings at this tent. It's not a tent of offering. What you have instead is you have Asaph and his crew at the tent. And what they are doing is they are serving in terms of music with loud cymbals and harps and lyres and trumpets. And down here, you have the sacrifices going on, and you have another crew of Levites who are also now worshiping with music, with loud cymbals and harps and lyres and trumpets and all kinds of singing going on. There are singers now. That's what's happening. So you have a divided tent. Up here we have Zion. And the reason this becomes very important, well, it's first of all, it's important because you look at it and you say, what in the world is going on? David appoints this new structure for worship. And when the two tents are put back together, in terms of the Solomonic temple that is built some years later, then you still have the music. But now the ark and all the other furniture is rejoined in this massive new structure. But this structure is not on Mount Zion. This structure is on Mount Moriah. Now, if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. And look at verse 5. But you shall seek the Lord at the place the Lord your God shall choose from all your tribes to establish his name there, and he will for his dwelling, and there you shall seek him. So if you read through chapter 12, it's all about this place, and you're going to have to come to this place to sacrifice and worship. Well, then when you read your Bible, you discover that place, well, it's Jerusalem. Jerusalem is this big city, but it has different mountain peaks in it. One's called Zion. The other's called Mount Moriah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We've read this many times. Verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. So even here in Hebrews, where we're coming down to this fulfillment, We're not talking about Mount Moriah. We're not talking about where the temple was built. We're talking about Mount Zion. Beautiful in elevation is Mount Zion, the city of our God. Well, that city, that mountain peak is called David's city. That's where David lived. On Mount Moriah, the temple is built. So we have this division then as we're reading Chronicles. And we have things change. But what's happened is Mount Zion, and then, of course, the whole region of Jerusalem, becomes the place where God sets his name. This is the place. Over here is going to be the temple. But over here, God has sent his name. But after the temple's built, this tent disappears. Now, what happens in this tent? In this tent, we have the Ark of the Covenant. I'm suggesting to you that it's not covered now. It's inside a tent, so it's uncovered. That means God is enthroned here in the wings of the cherubim. Down here at the tabernacle, he's not enthroned. But that's where the sacrifices, animal sacrifices, are taking place. In both places, there's the sacrifice of music that is going on. In a minute, we'll look at how that works. So here's God up here in Zion. But then when the temple's built, the two are brought together and God moves out of the tent and he moves into the temple and there he dwells. What in the world is this all about? Well, first we want to just think about the music for a minute. The music. Because prior to this, mostly it was silent. Turn to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. And look at verse 9. And when you go to war in your land against your adversaries who attack you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. This first 10 verses are about two silver trumpets that are to call the people together. You shall sound an alarm with the two silver trumpets, with the two trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. Okay, that's fine. That's a battle cry. So you toot the horns, and what it does is it draws all the troops together. We're going to go fight our enemies who are attacking us. And when you blow the horns, it calls God to remembrance. Okay, God, remember us and give us the victory. Look at verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your appointed feasts, and on the first days of the month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, which are ascension offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder for you before God. So apparently what happened when the tabernacle was set up, and this is what was going on in David's day when the tabernacle is down in Gibeon and people are going there to sacrifice. When an ascension offering starts going up, you throw it on the altar and it's burning, the trumpets are sounding. They're blowing the trumpets. And when the peace offerings are sacrificed, and the priests get part of it, and God gets part of it, and you sit down and you eat part of it, you're serenaded with trumpet music as you eat before the Lord. You just have trumpets. That's all. Two silver trumpets are playing. But now, David has somehow, well, we're told later on in Chronicles, that this came from Gad the seer, and from Nathan the prophet, because it came from the Lord. And we're told in chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles, verse 19, that the plan to the new temple and all of its service that goes with it, this plan was shown to David. So like Moses, he gets a picture of this plan. He knows what the worship is going to be. But before the temple is built, he in Zion has already instituted this worship. So over here, when 7.5 miles away, when the morning sacrifice takes place, and the lamb is going up in smoke, over here 7.5 miles away, you have an orchestra playing music and singing psalms as the people who are gathered at the tent join in and listen. Turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And Ben, read for us verses 25 through 30. 2 Chronicles 29.
He then stationed the Levites in the house of Yahweh with cymbals, with harps, and with lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, for the command was from Yahweh through his prophets. And the Levites stood with the musical instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offering on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song of Yahweh also began with the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. While the whole assembly worshipped, the singers also sang and the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Now at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to Yahweh with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshipped.
Okay, so you see, here's this picture that whenever these sacrifices are made, and we could turn to other verses, but we won't take time, then the music began as the offering is going up in smoke. I don't know how long it takes to burn a lamb up, do you? During that whole time, this music is taking place. In addition, when the peace offerings are sacrificed, then as people are eating before the Lord, during that whole time, this orchestra and the Levites who are singing and the congregation around, everybody is singing and eating together. That's what's transpiring. Now turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is where David sets it up. And right in the middle of the ark coming to Zion and being established there, then we end up with this psalm. And then when we come to the end of the psalm, then we're told a little bit more about the establishment of the musical system that David has set up. And in verse 4 of chapter 16, it says, "And he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord." This word minister, it's a word that just means to serve. It's what the Levites did. They served. But now their service is changing. Before, when they served, they would carry the ark on their shoulders. But the day of carrying the ark is coming to an end. In fact, right here it's come to an end. True, they're going to move it into the temple in a few years, but no more wandering around the wilderness with God enthroned above them marching along. That's not going to transpire anymore. So when you come to 2 Chronicles chapter 35, Josiah says, the burden is off your shoulders. You're not going to carry that load anymore. So their duties are changing. So he appoints them as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And then you're going to see in verses 8, we're going to look at it in a minute, in verses 8 through verse 36, this is what they sing. This is, if you will, aside from the first debacled try of bringing the ark up when they're singing, this is the first instituted music. It's the first word from the Lord. I want you to sing to me. And so they're told to celebrate and thank and praise. Now, I don't want to pound a point into the ground, but I do want you to know something. This is the only time in the New American Standard, I'm reading the New American Standard here, that this word in Greek, celebrate, is ever translated celebrate, because that's not what the word is. And if we had everybody open up their Bible, the New King James, the King James, the NIV, the NRSV, you know, you look at them all, they all have different translations. Invoke, celebrate, I don't remember them all. It's not a difficult word to translate. It's the word remember. And in Hebrew, you have different stems. So you have, not that it means anything to you, but just to show you, I know something, I'm going to say some of them, okay? You have the PL, the Hithel, the Hithpael. Well, when you come across a form of the verb in the Hebrew, these different stems tell you what to do with the word. You see, we have different ways in English, but this is how Hebrew does it. And this is a Hithel. Hithel is causative. It's a causative. So when you take the word remember and you translate it causatively, you cause something to be remembered. Okay, well, God's the object. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to praise God. We're going to thank God. And we're going to cause God to remember. And so now we have this whole idea of what music was in the Old Testament. When we sing praises to God, God is going to remember. He's going to remember us. And in just a minute, we'll look at that in terms of the psalm itself. But now, if you would, turn, if you would, to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet thou art holy, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Now, what does that mean, to be enthroned upon the praises of Israel? Now, I want you to think about it. So we have this picture of the tabernacle being packed up and we're marching, and up highest is the ark. It's covered for sure. People can't see it. But when you're marching around, this high throne is a demonstration. God is marching with us. He's enthroned on the ark on our shoulders. But now they're going to bear that load no more. The load's going to disappear. The ark is not going to move from the temple once it goes in there. And here over here in Zion, this is already considered its place. It's going to move just a couple of miles down the road to Mount Moriah. But basically, the work of carrying the ark is now over for the Levites. But if you noticed in the list, if you know anything about the Levites, you got three different family groups, and all the family groups have, if you read Numbers chapter 4, they all have different tasks in the carrying of the tabernacle and so forth. And in all the verses we read, we discover the Levites are doing something. Well, they're doorkeepers. Now, they're ark keepers. And doorkeepers were guards. So if you try to come through a gate into the tabernacle and you don't belong, boom, you're speared, you're dead. That's what Levites did. And they carried stuff. But now the burden's gone. But we say this in English. Let's lift up the name of the Lord. Because now all the verbiage to carrying is moved from carrying a load on your shoulders to singing. And God now no longer enthroned on the Ark of the Covenant, but he's enthroned on this praising singing. Well, maybe it's the kind of picture of God coming down to Mount Sinai, and there's all this smoke and lightning and flashing. And there God is at the top of Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up to meet with God. And the tabernacle is a picture of that mountain. But now we're not going to have that anymore. Instead, the halo, the cloud that represents God's glory cloud, is going to be people's praises. We're going to lift up God's name up high. That's what happens in Israel. And so you have to think about that. You know, when we install a new president or at certain functions, a band comes out and plays Hail to the Chief. I don't know about you, but I kind of like it. Don't you? Yeah. There's music. Now instituted in Zion and 7 miles away is music. And God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. So the music has to be the best one can do. And you notice it's loud crashing cymbals. And it's loud singing. Why? Because we're lifting up the name of God. You know, if we, then we're down here. Does God belong down here on our praises? If our mumbling's down here, that's where God is. We lift him up. You know, we know about this because we go to a football game or a basketball game and we shout and yell when we're mad and we shout and yell when our team is scoring and our team's lifted up. That's the picture that's here. God is lifted up. So when it comes to Israel, they're supposed to sing loudly. We have in our idea that somehow worship is quiet. Let's sing worshiply. That means, okay, let's sing quiet. Not in the Bible. Because God's enthroned on these praises. It's the best we can do. Now, I don't mean it should be loud like it just breaks your eardrums. I don't think that's the point at all. But we're supposed to sing out. So God is raised up. You know, it's a metaphor. It's a picture. So now the question is, turn back to, if you're not at 16, turn back to chapter 16. And we have this psalm. Now, you can look at the psalm. The psalm is really quite easy. The question is, why is this psalm here? Right here, when it's the first song that's sung when the ark comes into this tent. And here the ark is in the tent. And it might even be, there's just one room. There's nothing else in this room except the ark. That's it. And it might be the tent is big enough where all these singers come in. You would think, well, no, they can't stand before the ark. But we know that David did, because when David says, oh, I want to build a permanent structure for you, Nathan says, go do what's in your heart. But then the Lord appears to Nathan and says, no, he's not going to do that. And you get the Davidic commandment. Covenant. I'm going to build a house for David. And so what does David do? He goes into the tent and he is before the ark. He's right by the ark. If he did that in the tabernacle, he'd be toast. But he's not toast. Here he is in the very throne room of God, this tent that he's pitched and he's brought the ark in, and there he is sitting before the ark. How can that be? And it might be that these Levites, the priests are blowing horns, the Levites are playing harps and lyres and I don't remember the others, but there they are. They're all praying, and some of them are assigned to singing, so they're singing the psalms. And it could be that they're right in before the ark. After all, David's there. David's there, and he's not toast. He's not burned up. That's amazing. Because everybody feared the Lord. So why is this psalm here? Well, let me add to the mix, and then in just a minute we'll section the psalm out. This is we're going to see next week. We're not going to see it this week. But we'll read it. So take your Bibles and turn to Amos. We'll just read it. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. And this is what Hyde read to us from Acts. When James quotes in Acts, he's quoting from Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. It's not written quite the same. It has the same ideas. There are some little differences in the translation, but look at what it says in Amos. In that day, I will raise up the fallen, let's translate the word tent, the fallen tent of David, and wall up its breaches. I will also raise up its ruins, and I will rebuild as in the days of old, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Now, why James quotes this is something that we will pursue. And there are different ideas of why he quotes it and exactly what it means. But just ahead, in advance, I'm going to tell you what he's talking about is this little tent right here where the ark is. Well, it disappears. It disappears because now the furniture is brought together in the temple and the tent comes to the end. But God is saying, I'm going to raise that tent up again. So you have to think about it. Why does God divide the two tents still over here? The whole tabernacle's there. The ark is just missing. A tent is built over here. But he's made a division. And this division lasts, well, let's say 33 years. Longer. Because we have to give Solomon time to build. So let's say 50 years. This division lasts 50 years. I don't know if that's exactly right, but it's something like that. And then finally the temple is built. And then all of a sudden you can't go into the holiest of holies again. You can't see that ark anymore. You can't enter where God is enthroned any longer. Why is that? That's what's quoted in Acts to say why Gentiles don't need to be circumcised. So we'll look at that next week. But here's this psalm then. And here's this tent here. The ark's come in. And David has assigned all of the ministries. And then this psalm is given to us. And I'm going to have Ben read. We're going to read it in three parts. I'll just talk briefly about each of the three parts. Ben, read for us verses 8 through 22.
1 Chronicles 16, 8. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek Yahweh be glad. Seek Yahweh and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is Yahweh our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. When they were only a few in number, very few and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm.
Okay, so God, I shouldn't say God, David, I'm assuming David penned the psalm. We don't know for sure. This is a psalm, and David sets it out in three parts. The first part is Israel. The second part is broader. It's the nations. And the third part is broader, yet it's all of creation. So in the section on Israel, people are lifting up God's name and they're telling of his wondrous deeds. And they're told, you need to seek the Lord. Well, where do you seek the Lord? You come right here to this tent where he is. That's where you seek him. This is where you want to come. Because right here in this tent, he's now enthroned on Mount Zion. Just like Psalm 48 tells us. Just like today, we know that that Mount Zion is a picture of what's up in heaven where the church is that's enrolled in heaven on Mount Zion. So if you're going to seek the Lord, you're going to come here. And so it just goes through the history. And Israel's reminded, okay, think about your history now. God made a covenant with you, and he brought you down into the land of Egypt, and then he took you out of the land of Egypt, and he took you through the wilderness for 40 years, and he watched over you, and he brought you into the land of promise. You need to remember all of this. Seek the Lord. And these people are now singing this. The music is going on at the tent here. Everyone's singing this song, and they're doing it to praise God for what he's done. They're doing it to thank God for what he's done, and they're doing it to remind God. This is what you did. In a minute, we'll see why they remind God. So right here, this portion is directed to Israel. Then verses 23 through 30 is directed to the nations.
Sing to Yahweh, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to Yahweh, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship Yahweh in holy array. Tremble before him all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved.
Okay, so now the nations are asked to ascribe to the Lord. And they've listened to all that Israel has sung in the first part of the psalm. Now they're told how great the Lord is. And they're told, okay, put away your idols. They're nothing. God made the heavens. He's the one who rules. And ascribe to him the glory that's due to his name, which means he's weighty, he's wonderful, he's magnificent. And this fits Zion because in Zion you can come to the ark. You couldn't do that at the tabernacle, but a Gentile can come into the ark and he can look and he can say, God is great. And we know there's one Gentile looking in this ark. It's Obed-Edom with his 68 family members who are all a part of this singing choir. What? Gentiles have been included? Yeah, Gentiles have been included in this little temporary separation of the ark from the tabernacle. Right now, you can walk in and you can look and God is enthroned there. And you can say, yeah, my idols are nothing. I'm going to turn to the Lord. I'm going to ascribe to him the weight, the heaviness, the majesty, the splendor that is due to his name. It's fantastic. A little period of 50 years when there's a tent and you can come before the Lord. A picture of something that's going to happen in the future. But it only lasts 50 years. Then we're back to the temple. Okay, then the last part of the psalm, verses 31 through 33, are the heavens and the earth. But we'll read the whole rest, 31 through 36.
Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, Yahweh reigns. Let the sea roar in all it contains. Let the field exult in all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before Yahweh, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be Yahweh, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praised Yahweh.
So notice then it expands out into all the creation. And here's God. He's in the ark. He's enthroned over the ark in the tent. And as Israel praises, as the nations praise, all creation in its God-created function praises. It's a picture of God ruling over everything right here in Zion. And then give thanks to the Lord and say, save us. Save us from the nations. Well, who's saying it? Is it Israel? Oh, sure, it's Israel. Is it the nations? Yeah, it's the nations. Is it all of creation? Yeah, it's all of creation. Save us. Let us come look at your glory and bless your name and say, you're great. And sing your praises forever and ever. This is this little period in history where Zion is here. With the introduction of this music that lifts God up and enthrones him. The question is now, okay, is that music for us today? Is that music for us today? I know we're a little over time. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming in which neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Now you have to think about that. In my Bible, all the spirit words are lowercase. In my estimation, all the spirit words need to be uppercase. Just think about it. You don't need a theologian to tell you this. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and the Lord says clearly, "Okay, I'm going to place my name somewhere. That's where you're going to seek me. That's where you're going to come, where I place my name." Now Jesus says to the woman who's disputing with him, "Well, you say worship over here in Jerusalem. We say worship in Mount Gerizim." Jesus doesn't even deal with the issue. He says, "An hour is coming, and it's already here, when you're not going to worship here or here. You're going to worship in spirit." Well, that's what a lot of people say they're doing on the golf course Sunday mornings. Worshiping in spirit. I can worship the Lord better out in nature. And it makes it sound like, okay, God is a spirit, and so we're made of flesh and spirit, so two spirits connect. That's how we work. That's not what it's talking about. Where is the spirit? The spirit was poured out on the church. So you have a church here, you got a church down there, you got a church up the road. You got churches all over the world. And when you sit down with God's people in which the Spirit of God dwells, then you worship God. It doesn't have to be in Jerusalem. It doesn't have to be in Mount Gerizim. But it's certainly not out on a lake by yourself. No, it's where God's spirits come to this new temple that's all over the place. In a group of people, you worship in spirit and truth. And so that's going to turn then what we do with the Old Testament. How are we going to take what James says in Acts chapter 15, quoting from Amos chapter 9, and figure out what he's saying and how does it apply to us today? Well, it's time to quit. Let me tell you two things and then we'll pick it up next week. So these Levites, they're guardians. They guard the way. But here in Zion, the way is not really guarded. You could come in and you can look. It's not guarded. And there is no more shoulder bearing. But the language is the same. They're still doorkeepers. They're still guardians. They're still lifters. But now they lift with music. That's what they do. And now they guard with music the way of the Lord. That's their new service. Does that belong to us today? It certainly does. We must think about this music issue. And we must say, okay, when we sing, when the instruments join in, should we have instruments? Should we not have instruments? When all of that happens, what we're doing is we're lifting God's name high. And what we say in our music, we must guard the way. It's not just tunes that sound great to our ears. Lyrics make all the difference. If we're going to be like the Levites at the tent where the ark was, we're going to push God's name up because we're going to become a congregation that says, okay, I may not have a good voice. I can't sing worth a dime. But I'm going to sing out anyway. Hey, and I'm one who needs to hear that. I don't have a good voice. But I'm going to sing out. And I'm going to have to work harder to do it because I'm going to have to start brailing out the songs I don't know so I can sing them out. So we push the name of God up because, well, he's our king. And we're going to have to pick words that are words that tell the truth. We worship in the Spirit according to the word, the truth. That's what we're going to do. Now, this is a tremendous psalm. It's not hard to understand. Let me remind you, it's here to praise God. We can sing it. If we had music to it, we could sing it. It's here to praise God. It's here to give God thanks. But notice when you come to the end, it ends with a petition. Oh, God, save us. Save us. So the psalm is pushed up, lifting God up, and he's thanked and he's praised for all of his wonderful deeds and his marvelous works, and he's reminded of what he's done for us in the past. And now we say, okay, God, be reminded, save us. All in music. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we confess that you are a magnificent God, the one and only God, and you deserve the very best from us. We know that as a small congregation, we can't possibly do what large congregations do in music. It cannot be done. But we can be a congregation who loves to stand and sing and lift your throne up high. We can be a congregation that knows now we don't take an ark out to battle. But as we stand and we sing your praises, you are enthroned as our king and you fight our battles for us. We can lift your name up and recognize that as we come together and praise you, then you are preparing us to go out and call many to salvation. So, Lord, grow us in this area to see how magnificent you are and to be a congregation who loves to sing your praises. And, Lord, for all of us who don't have great melodic voices, give us no shame to sing out and broadcast your name just as these you appointed by David in Chronicles did. Playing musical instruments and singing all so that your name would be praised. And here at the Ark in Zion, where unhindered access was open, not only to David, not only to the Levites, but also to Gentiles like Obed-Edom. And now, Lord, we come around your table to sit down with you, a time to rest at your table and enjoy all that you've done for us and to sing your praises and to feed on the spiritual food that nourishes us and builds us up in Christ. And so we want to be people who you are bringing to fruition the covenant in our lives individually, but more importantly in the life of the church, so that Your commands are written on our hearts and they're placed on our minds. And then we're reminded, you remember sin no more. So bless our time around the table. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.